Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 20th day of 2018, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're actually listening to a live broadcast of Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, don't get the blues, kick off your shoes. Hey, guess what? Here comes the news. You got it. There were a lot of things that we have to talk about, but this amused me. At one section of Google's giant outdoor booth at CES was an impromptu Carney-style one-man show with a guy wearing dark sunglasses and a white Google Assistant jumpsuit loudly and enthusiastically giving away free electronics one by one to a snaking line of gawking tech showgoers. Google's even giving out smart lights, he told the crowd. I didn't even know lights could be smart. Congratulations, dude. This one booth bro embodied Google's efforts at CES 2018, with the search giant making a rare and splashy appearance at the world's largest tech show. The company was working to drum up attention for its Google Assistant voice helper as it tries to catch up to Amazon's Alexa, the dominant force in voice-controlled smart speakers. Voice-controlled smart speakers would be a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Not to be outdone, Amazon was part of dozens of partnership announcements at CES, with Alexa making its way into Toyota Cars, Vuzix smart glasses, headquartered right here in Rochester, and Kohler smart toilets. That blow-by-blow fight between Amazon and Google highlights the tech industry's expectation that voice assistants will play a much bigger role in your digital life this year. Executives from both companies at CES talked about bringing their voice assistants to many more places like cars, earbuds, and office meeting rooms and toilets. So your voice assistant can be seamlessly available to you anywhere and anytime, even on the toilet. If voice is going to be everywhere, you want to see voice transition from the home. When you get into your car, you also want it at work, said Steve Rabichin, Amazon's vice president of Alexa voice service and Alexa skills. We're going off into auto and these other places because we believe voice is a natural interface and it should be ambient. He perhaps meant ubiquitous. So far, voice assistants have built up a fan base as controllers of the smart home, helping people play music or operate their connected lights. The challenge will be whether these assistants can effectively transition into other places. That test is already playing out in phones, with Siri, Alexa, and Google Assistant already available on oodles of handsets, but results have been mixed. Samsung is also working to bring its assistant Bixby into TVs and appliances this year. Siri, meanwhile, was wholly overshadowed at CES and in danger of falling well behind the pack. Plus, some customers concerned about privacy may not want their assistants to travel with them. Others might be annoyed if someone is loudly chatting with his assistant out in public, requiring new guidelines for voice assistance etiquette. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is Bites with a Y. Francis unceasingly reminds us. Do you have a smart voice assistant? And your choices are Alexa, Google Home, both Alexa and Google Home. Too creepy for me, too smart for me. And so far, too creepy for me is winning just ahead of too smart for me, followed by Alexa, followed by both Alexa and Google Home, followed by Google Home. 29 people have voted so far. You should vote, too. And
I've heard of more folks that got it as a Christmas gift,
yep,
setting it up, and they are having more fun than they care to see.
Well, and that's just it. You can do all kinds of fairly interesting things and fun things with them.
Yep.
But people are hard-pressed to find a reason to actually... A lot of people are using them for timers and reminder type things, so that's okay. Listening to the news in the morning, you can ask Alexa has something called flash briefings, where you can get, for example, Ask Nick News as a flash briefing every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a minute and change of the top headlines from my website. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and you can play music and you can do all this other stuff. But some people are using it fairly constantly. I'm still waiting for my 3D printer.
That should be any time now.
Well, it should be sometime in February, maybe early March.
I forgot to bring you some of the prints from...
You son of a pup! I'm expecting them. But the point is, every time I look at another printer, I don't do metric well. And so I'm always saying, you know, either to Google or to the Echo, convert 120 millimeters to inches or whatever it is. And so that's fairly useful for me, actually. Mm-hmm. But generally, people are having trouble getting what you do with one of those things.
See, that's why I'm still happy with my watch and the phone.
Right.
You know, I can sit there, have the text come up, and without, you know, look at it, and then I can sit there and tell it to, you know, send a message back or whatever I want to do. It's right there and it's so convenient. I rely on it so much for looking different stuff up, or if I've got questions about this or that, or like you say, setting a timer or a reminder or adding something to my calendar.
Right.
No biggie.
Right. And that's what you have, Google Assistant, which is essentially the same thing as Google Home.
Yep.
So, you know, you're familiar with that and you're used to it. And it's not just the smart speakers. And by the way, there's no good term for these things.
Yeah.
Voice assistant hardware, smart speaker, when sometimes it's not a speaker and blah, blah, blah. Nobody knows what to call them, but they are smart assistants is really what they are.
And noticeably absent from the list is the Apple HomePod with Siri.
Is it out yet?
Nope.
That's the
point. It was supposed to be out by Christmas.
Right.
And it didn't make it.
Didn't come anywhere near it.
So you can use your phone or your iPad or your Mac for Siri Assistant.
Right.
But it's not this ubiquitous, you know, just sitting there waiting like the Amazon
day
and Google
late,
boxes.
Day late, a dollar short.
Yep. So we have, because the Echo Dot is only $29, same price as the Google Mini, I bought one for Christmas. Actually, in November, for my wife and another one for my daughter. And the beautiful thing about that is I can message Amelia through her Echo Dot.
Yep.
And when she comes home, she sees the ring is glowing, whatever color that is, green, I think, whatever color it is. And she can then get her messages and respond and blah, 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 blah. And so far, at least, she's far more willing to do that than pick up the freaking telephone and talk to her father.
Hey, her dad's into technology. She's supporting that.
Yeah.
And she says phones and calls are old-fashioned.
Yeah, they are. Whereas Alexa's pretty cool. She says she also uses it a lot for music and stuff like that, so it's okay.
We have a similar problem with Matthew where he's up in his room, you know, through three doors. We message him, but he doesn't always hear his iPad ding. He has an Echo Dot. Can I put the Amazon app on my iPad and tell the Amazon Dot to do something upstairs because it's out of audio range?
That's a very good question, and
then,
I don't know.
Because then I
can
have it speak to him,
yeah,
rather than just listen for it to do.
Right.
Because I set up an Echo with a customer the other day, and first thing she asked was, "How is the average person supposed to figure out how to set this up?" Because you have to switch your Wi-Fi networks to join the Wi-Fi, and then on the Apple, you get a big error warning that the Echo's Wi-Fi is unsecure. Yes, it is. You use that to then join your secure network.
Right.
But you have to go past that big warning sign because they don't want you connecting to unsecure networks.
Right.
And then the next thing she asked, well, is it listening to me all the time?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. When you say the trigger word, it lights up blue, so at least you can...
Right. The theory is that it listens but doesn't pay attention. In other words, until it hears the trigger word, it just throws away everything it hears.
Yep.
Only when it hears the trigger word does it go back and actually pay attention.
See, that was always my snappy answer back to my wife and my mom. You never listen to me. Of course I'm listening. I'm just not paying attention.
Right.
It's called selective listening.
Yeah, I can't help but listen. You're standing there screaming.
I'm hearing, yes.
Oh, you want me to pay attention.
Yeah, right. Oh. I have a friend who hates her Echo. She bought her mother an Echo, and the mother hates it because the daughter's name is Alexa.
Yeah.
So every time she talks to her daughter,
The thing goes off.
Alexa, come in here. I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
And you can only have it answer to Echo or Amazon or computer. It can't answer to very many things.
Right.
And the other, it can answer to Amazon, but you hear Amazon all the time.
Right.
And computer is too ubiquitous too. And that's from Star Trek, hello, computer.
Right.
But, it needs to answer to more things.
Well, and what's interesting is it used to respond to the Amazon commercials.
I've noticed that with Google and Siri and the Echo that they don't now. So
they don't.
There must be like they're playing a tone.
Right.
An inaudible human tone that the thing hears.
Right.
Because I'm watching BBC America, and there's always hey, Shlomo, watch BBC America. And it doesn't trigger.
Right.
So they must have known that. The Amazon Echo murder case got dropped. The guy in the hot tub?
Yeah.
So a man was found dead in a hot tub, so they thought it was the homeowner. Because the smart water meter said 400 gallons of water was used at 3 a.m. Obviously, he flushed the evidence. And refilled the hot tub. The police were trying to get the Amazon Echo to see if it had recorded anything. This was, when was this? In 2015. So finally now, the case has been dropped due to lack of evidence.
Apparently Amazon doesn't
washed
record
away.
Anything.
Yeah.
Washed away.
So, yeah, somebody refilled the hot tub. There's no proof that it was the homeowner.
Right.
There's the assumption that the person that was there at 3 a.m. did it, but...
Right, assume.
That's an assumption.
Yep. Right. People are buying these things left and right. I will say that I do love... I do love the convenience of... I mount my phone on my dashboard and I can get Google to give me directions and find the nearest whatever and... all of that stuff, and I love that.
Hands-free texting. Matthew was texting me while I was driving
Hands-free texting. I do that.
He didn't
usually
remember I was driving here, apparently. No,
yeah.
He was on break at his work, and so he could text me.
Right. And I usually do that from my watch. As Dave was saying, I can text right from my watch, so that's very convenient. But, Google and Amazon and Apple, who's late to the game, and now Samsung with Bixby, want to be ubiquitous. They want... you to be using their service everywhere. So they're trying to make it as easy as possible to do that.
Well, and that's one of the problems is they're all siloed into their own ecosystem. It's very hard to get Amazon to play Apple Music.
Right.
Or to get Apple to play Google Music.
Right.
So they only want to be their own stuff.
Right.
So now we use TuneIn. Which is a popular radio app that Jazz 90.1 is on.
Yeah.
Is sort of now the intermediary that all the devices will talk to TuneIn, so you can ask it to play a station on TuneIn. You can ask it to play sound bites, which doesn't quite work
no,
yet,
you can't.
But we're working on it.
Right.
This is the interesting
thing. I think
thing.
The Play Jazz 90.1 works, though.
Play Jazz 90.1 absolutely works. Play sound bites does not work because there's sound bites with an I, there's festival sound bites, there's about three or four others, and what I'm going to have to do is now figure out, and it is not easy to figure out anything on TuneIn. Figure out how to rename the station to something like Soundbites Radio, so it's more unique. But I have to figure out how to do that.
Apple did open up more analytics to the iTunes store. I can bring that up during the break.
And that's
nice. We can see who's actually listening to the show through iTunes.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, we are going to take a quick break while Steve does that. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just a couple.
computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Rich from Irondequoit, New York, on the line. Hi, Rich. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. Good afternoon. I have an Echo and a Dot, and I listen to Sound Bites every week on them. They're a great tool and get news and everything else. I have a quick question. A family member had purchased also a Google Home. My brother has a Dot, and I have a Dot, and we're able to communicate between the dots.
You connected the dots.
between the dots. We connect the dots. How's that?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah. Is there any way to do the Dot or Echo or anything like that to a Google Home to the same principle?
Yeah, no, I'm afraid not. As Steve said, they're all in their own little ecosystem right now. Now, will that change in the future? We all certainly hope so.
You could put the Google Home, Google Assistant app on your smartphone. And then go that way. So in your house with the Echo, you can use your phone to get to his Google Home.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. So I would have to have the app for the Google Home on my phone is what you're saying.
Yep. Right. Yep. Which is why I want to see if I can use the Amazon app on my iPad to talk to my son. Yeah.
Right.
I would think so. I mean, I use it on my phone and then call into the... outside of my house, we'll say, I'm at work, and I go through the Wi-Fi at work, and I call through the app on the Amazon, and it connects to the Dot in the house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I would think that would work for you, even in the Apple way or whatever else.
Yeah. We're still playing with it to check it out.
So now let me ask you a question. How do you listen to Sound Bites on the Echo Dot?
I just tell it to play Jazz 90.1.
Oh, right.
And I think it goes to, what was the other station you guys mentioned? Or the
TuneIn.
TuneIn Radio.
Right. It says that it plays it on TuneIn or whatever.
Yep.
And like you said, I have tried to say, well, just play Sound Bites or something like that, and it just doesn't understand that.
Yes, and here's the problem. Sound Bites is on TuneIn, so you can go to TuneIn, search for Sound Bites, and one of the things that comes up is our station, and you can listen to all the podcasts, all of them. The problem is it's not a unique enough name for TuneIn to figure out which Sound Bites you want.
Right.
And I have to go in and rename it.
Maybe Sound Bites Radio.
That's what I'm thinking, Sound Bites Radio. And that should help. So if you went to tune in right now and in the thing, put in the search bar, put in Sound Bites with a Y, it's the one that comes up. But if you put in just Sound or Sound Bites with an I, you get something different. And of course, when you're doing it by voice, it can't tell the difference.
Right. It's not like you're spelling it to it.
Right. So I have to figure out, I have to change the name, maybe say, like Steve said, Sound Bites Radio. That's the most obvious choice. We'll see if that works.
They'll get inspirational messages. There's Sound Bites inspirational messages.
Yeah, apparently,
right. And that's, exactly. I've had that happen too, where I've said that and got some other, sound bite of something.
Yep.
Right. You know? So that's Sound Bite. That's a different.
Yep.
That's a difference. So you're seeing all of those fake news, sound bites, blah, blah, blah. Anything that has sound bite in it, you can get. But the top one is Sound Bites, the radio show. And if you click on that, you see all of our episodes, and they immediately start playing.
Okay. All right, well, I'll try putting in the app maybe on my phone or see if I can find something with Amazon, too, or whatever, to see if I can connect it that way. But it's at least a place to start. I did try Googling it, but didn't come up with very much.
No, there isn't much on being able to do that stuff now yet.
Well, the obvious answer, of course, is to buy one of each.
Right, they're only $30. Right.
If I can get them to buy me one, that's okay. Yeah. I'm not going to buy one just to talk to them. How's that?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Well, you buy a Google for you, and they'll buy an Amazon for them. No.
Or vice versa. Yeah, we could do that.
There you go.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Yep. Have fun.
We're also starting to see third-party companies that are supporting all the assistants. We sell the Sonos speakers in our office, and they've added the new Sonos One. The number one was the old version. This is Sonos Word One. Is the new version.
What's right. going to be annoying. Interesting.
But the Sonos One has Alexa built in, or Amazon, you have to watch what we're saying, has the Amazon built in now, and they're going to add Google Home and Siri.
Right.
So your one speaker box will be able to access all the different services.
Right.
All right, I'm going to throw this out.
Yeah.
Because here we got all these players.
Yep.
Fighting for our business.
Yep.
And like usually, you know, like when there was Beta and VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else trying to get
yep.
the dollars, who's going to fall out and who's going to be the winner?
Well, that's a very good question.
Which one did porn pick?
Right, right, right.
Beta, exactly. Beta was superior image quality. VHS had porn.
Right. here's longer format.
And longer
as well.
Format, yeah.
So here's the thing. Right now, it's such a new field.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon has certain things going for it, like you can buy stuff. And you can track your packages.
And for heaven's sake, put a password on your one-click shopping.
Oh, please.
You know, hey, Shlomo, you know, order me a dollhouse.
Well, exactly.
And it does.
And it does.
Yep. That was a big thing last Christmas, where kids that didn't get what they wanted for Christmas asked their assistant to do it.
Yep. And Google is part of the Google ecosystem. So if you are an Android, Google, Chromebook, blah, 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 blah person, then it makes an awful lot of sense to have a Google Home. On the other hand, they're only $30. You know, so who and like we said, Apple, very late to the game. You can get Siri on your Fire Stick. That's Amazon as well.
Your Apple TV.
Apple TV.
And your phone and your iPhone, your iPad.
Yeah, but the way, see, right. Google, though, they stay pretty consistent. And I know this is something totally different, but, you know, trying to suck everybody into Amazon, and then they get into the Amazon Prime. They just announced Amazon Prime is now going up in cost.
If you pay monthly,
yeah,
yes.
If you pay a monthly charge there.
Oh, good, because so, I just renewed. My renewal just happened. So, because I got my 30-day free trial for Christmas a couple of years ago to get free two-day shipping, and I kept it because there's so much stuff.
Like everything else, though, Google has been free. They mm-hmm. offer their free word processing. I mean, everything else. It's free.
Well,
photos. You want to put it up on the storage? Good. Free. And they don't come back later on, a year later, and all of a sudden say, well, now we're going to have to start charging you.
And that's one of the problems that Amazon has. So, for example, you can ask for particular types of music or a particular piece of music.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon will often tell you that's not available, in parentheses, for free. But here's a sample of what you could buy. Mm-hmm. With Amazon Music.
And it
whereas
it prefers
Google says,
Amazon Music, and to get it to play other music from other services is tricky.
It's tricky. And also, it wants to play the one you should be paying for.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when it's Google Home, it will say, I can't play that song,
mm-hmm.
but here's a similar mix on Google Play Music.
Yep.
And there it shows up magically. Or it actually plays that a song or album or whatever. Or, you know, you can pick a particular, you know, play Frank Sinatra. And it'll say, here's the Frank Sinatra mix on Google Play Music. Whereas Amazon will say, I'm sorry, that's mm-hmm. not available. But here's a sample of what you could buy. So a lot of people get annoyed by Amazon for that.
My bet, if I had to bet, by the end of the year, I think Google's going to be the one that comes out on top. I'm just saying.
Because of so much free stuff.
They've been the leader. I mean,
but
that's
Amazon has the mind to share.
And
with the Amazon store, that's going to be hard to beat.
But with like now, as we're seeing, and I'm getting more and more folks going to Chromebooks.
Yep.
Yep.
Chromebooks are taking over the Windows. Because, you know, you go into a lot of stores now. I've told folks, well, you know, I don't want to go get another computer, you know, spend all that kind of money. I go, all right, again, you know, and we've said this countless times. What do you do with it?
Right.
And they tell us.
Right.
I says, well, then go get a new laptop. Yeah, but that's going to cost you. I says, $300? What? All of a sudden, they're perked up. What are you talking about? I said, go check out a Chromebook. What's a Chromebook? I'd sit there and go to my spiel. Well, it doesn't get viruses, doesn't get spyware, doesn't get malware, but you can do everything you want without any fears of then also having to buy an operating system.
Right.
You can surf. You can get your emails. You can edit photos. You can listen to music. I've got Sirius Radio on that. I can have it playing that in the background. I could listen to music all the time.
And you can do all of that stuff on the Google Home or the Google Home Mini as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas on Echo, it might cost you more money. It won't play it again, right, until you repay.
Yep.
But right now, at least, the Amazon smart speakers are way ahead of everybody else in terms of sales. I mean, like 7-1. So, right now it's an Amazon world when it comes to smart speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Or smart assistants, or whatever the heck you're going to
call it. Whatever you want to call it. So much stuff is being
thrown into Amazon Prime that... that's becoming the gateway,
right?
You get your Amazon speaker to talk to Amazon's Amazon Prime, and then you get the TV shows and movies and music and
right. And for people,
the free shipping, free 2-day shipping is almost an afterthought now.
Right. And for people who buy a lot of stuff from Amazon, to be able to say where's my shipment?
Yeah.
That sort of fare, that's worth easily $30. For some people. And so that's one of the now what people don't know, of course, is you can also say that to Google Home, but now you have to be more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my shipment number, blah, 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 from UPS. So it becomes a little harder. Yeah. Whereas, of course, Amazon, the Echo has an in into the Amazon sales area, and it knows you. It's when you say, where's my shipment? It goes and sees, oh, you do have a shipment. Here's the status.
Yeah. I was going to go, since we're talking about sales and everything else, one of the big things, and this is sort of a sidebar, because we're getting quite a few people's attention right now, is one thing I wanted to point out, and I've had a couple of my customers call me about this. It's the scams, folks.
Oh, yeah, we're changing the subject.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But they're going on through Google and Amazon and ordering stuff. And then they're getting these fake calls saying, well, you still got a bill that's due. And we want you to go and to get all these gift cards or, go to the dollar store and get all these cards and call us back.
Well, there's a problem with your account. Click here to log in.
Yeah. Folks, if they're telling you, you've purchased something and you get this mysterious call saying that you owe this or do that, and they want you to go and purchase gift cards from another store, hang up. Hang up immediately.
Right.
That is bogus. A lot of folks, even in the city here, have been getting scammed. Like I said, I had a few folks call. They said, well, I hung up on them. They might call me back. I go, no, they're not going to, because they're pulling a scam. They're trying to, fake folks out, thinking, pry on these folks that aren't mm-hmm. very knowledgeable. And we're telling you right up front, if somebody tells you you owe money for this purchase because it didn't go through or this or that, and you owe this money and they want you to go, say, to Dollar General and get all these gift cards or iTunes cards and call them back, hang up.
And we're moving into tax season now, so the tax scams are going to come. Fake tax return, tax checking, check cashing. So, we'll give you an advance on your refund check.
And now that the government is shut down, we're already seeing calls from people saying there's a problem with your Social Security or there's a problem with whatever.
Let him finish the story. There was a story this morning on the news about the government shutdown. You still owe taxes to the IRS. You still have to file.
Right.
But you may not get your return because the government shut down.
Right. But the point is, in terms of scam, people are already getting calls that saying because the government shut down, you've got an issue with your Social Security or your taxes or whatever it might happen to be. So, send us gift cards or whatever. We can't take cash.
Yeah.
We can't take credit cards. You have to send us gift cards.
Yeah.
Hang up.
And like you say, going back to this Amazon, because so many folks, myself included, I love going to Amazon, being ordered there, and boom, it shows up a few days later. I love it. You know, it is convenient and finding stuff and usually a pretty good price, and it'll even warn me if I can get it a little bit cheaper. You know, a couple other add-ons I've had, and that's all worked out great. But like you said, you got to be buyer aware. You know,
right?
Because they're going to watch this, especially if you've been hacked into through spyware or that. So you could get hacked and, you know, get into your system. So be cautious.
I know of people that order so much on Amazon that they get a package every day or two.
Yep.
Right now, the Echo Dot, buy six, get one free.
Buy six, get one free. Very nice. All right, we're going to take a quick break while you order your seven.
I think it's buy six and one of the six is free.
Oh, maybe. But we're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 40 minutes after the hour at Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Gary from Rochester, New York on the line. Hiya, Gary. What's
up? Hi. I have a question about Firefox and Java. I have the latest Firefox update, and last night I loaded the Java update and then got taken to a web page that said I can't use Java with Firefox, and they suggest either switching over to Internet Explorer, which I guess would be Edge now because Java will work with that, or continue with Firefox, and I'd use Adobe Flash. And it seems to me like a dilemma because you've talked a lot about Adobe Flash being pretty dangerous to run. And you've also talked about Internet Explorer. It may or may not be a good browser, but it is full of holes and hacked more often.
Well, and then
and so is Java.
So is Silverlight, and so is Acrobat, and a whole bunch of others. And that's why
don't use any
Firefox has. Stopped them. Now there are ways to actually allow JavaScript on a per site basis.
Oh,
well, you're talking about Java or JavaScript?
Java.
Java, yeah.
Yeah. Do you what site are you using that needs Java? Because they may not anymore. Most of the sites have been moving over to HTML5.
Well, that's good to know. I really don't know. I use the internet very sparingly, really.
Most of the browsers in the last two or three versions have stopped loading Java and Flash automatically, and you have to click to allow it on a website because of the dangers. So it may be that you don't need Java anymore. You can try uninstalling it and see if any of your websites complain.
What likely happened here is that when you install Java, it takes you to a Java test page at Adobe. At Sun now. right. So that it can prove that it installed Java.
Right.
So it installed itself. It took you to that page, and Firefox said, "Yeah, I don't think so."
I see. Yeah. Okay.
So it's not that anything bad happened.
Uh-huh.
It's just that, as Steve said, unless you're actually doing something that specifically requires Java, which many places don't anymore, you can just ignore that message.
And if you do get it,
Steve can post a thing on how to allow it for a site that you trust. So if you get that message, when you specifically go to a web page that stops working because of Java, you can use this page to re-allow Java on that site.
But if you do have Java or Flash installed, you must run all the updates, the legitimate updates, because there are so many security holes, it gets updated so frequently.
Right.
Yeah.
The bad guys will put out fake Java updates and fake Flash updates. So if you get one of those messages that you need an update, ignore it. Go to java.org or adobe.com to download and update them manually. Or better yet, uninstall them both and see if any of the websites you go to frequently complain.
All right.
Because many websites now have switched to different technologies.
Right.
Okay. You know, the other thing that this page said, the reason it wouldn't work was not only because of Firefox, but I've got a 64-bit computer in it, and it said it wouldn't work with that. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know why.
I don't think they had Java for 64-bit.
The big thing is, it doesn't matter what the messages are, as we said.
Yeah.
Uninstall it, and it was probably a legitimate message.
Yeah.
The big thing is that Java expects to still be 32-bit,
mm-hmm.
But you don't care anymore. You're just right. Going to uninstall it anyway. So,
right.
Just do that and live happier. Also, your machine will be faster. Because when you have Java and you start using it, you find that because it's likely a 32-bit installation, the system has to do a shift, a context shift from 64-bit to 32-bit and then back again. And that's very expensive in terms of processor time.
Yeah.
And so the effect is that it slows your computer down.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Have fun.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
Yep.
I have found that a lot of the networking tools I use are written in Java.
Yep.
So they run on Windows, Linux, and Mac simultaneously, so I end up needing to have Java. There's one I like called Angry IP.
Nice.
And it's a network-wide IP scanner, so it finds all the systems on your network.
Oh, that's nice. But it runs only in Java?
Only in Java, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a desktop app that requires Java.
Right, right, right. Right. So I've... thank you.
I'm sure there's a netstat command line thing I could use to find all the IPs on my network, but I like GUIs.
Right, exactly. Exactly. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Barb from Arundhati, New York. Hiya, Barb. What's up?
Hey, I got an email the other day from Netgear, which is our wireless, saying that there was a security update. I cannot log in. I mean, I logged into the actual website, but it will not allow me to log into the router login.
Right.
So I'm...
You need to remember the password you created for the router when you set it up the first time.
Yeah, and that would help. Yeah. I know.
Or there's likely a way to do a factory default where it erases everything in the router and sets it back to the default password. You'll then be able to log in, but have to reset up your whole network again.
Right. The first thing to do is to look in the manual, because if you don't remember setting it up, it's probably still got the default password in it.
Okay.
So manual would tell you what that is.
It went to this router login.net.
No. I don't know what they were sending. We're talking a scam.
Yeah.
Your router
that's the Netgear redirect URL. So when you register your Netgear router, you can go to that address instead of knowing the IP of the router.
Oh, okay. What you really want to do is check the manual. And see what the default password is.
Okay.
And it may tell you that you can go to it directly. It's generally a 192.168.something.something number.
Okay.
And that will let you log in directly to your own router. Could be a 10.something number as well instead, but it'll tell you in the manual how to log in directly to your router. And in general, most modern routers once you're logged in as the administrator, if you go to the administrator's page, it'll say check for updates.
Okay.
And then you check for the updates, and if there is one, it'll give you the option to install it.
Now, would this make any difference? I'm running a new computer. We got a new computer a few weeks or a couple months ago.
Nope.
Would it make any difference there?
Nope. The computer has almost nothing except for a way to get to the router.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the router.
Because it gets the IP address from the router. Now, if you want to know what your main IP or your gateway address is, what version of Windows are you running?
I'm not. I'm on a Mac.
Ooh.
So you go to the Apple menu and System Preferences.
Okay, so I'm going to go down to the System Preferences.
Yep.
Okay.
And then Network.
I tried this morning. I think I did. Now I can't even find network on here.
Kind of in the middle. It's a blue globe with network lines on it. So if you know what it is, you know what it is. Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Got it.
And then if you're connected on Wi-Fi, you want to click the Wi-Fi button on the left, and then click the advanced button on the right.
I don't see an advanced button. Oh, advanced. Here it is. Yep, advanced. Okay.
And then the tabs across the top, you want to click TCP/IP. Should be the second
TCP/IP.
Tab.
Yep.
And one of the lines says router.
One of the lines says router.
The 34th line down.
Router. Yes, yep. I see it.
So that's the address of your router, the Netgear router.
So if you were to copy that address.
Okay.
And paste it into your web browser.
Okay.
Where you would normally type google.com or whatever.
Right.
That should bring you to your router and give you the opportunity to log in there. Now, of course, you're back to the same problem of do you know your password? But now that's where you go to your manual and see what the default password is.
Username and password.
Right. Username and password. Right.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure. Usually I'm really good about keeping manuals. And, of course, that's one I can't find.
Well, then what you do is you can then... Admin look up password. Your particular router on
right,
the bottom
okay.
of it and search for the manual for
okay,
that particular
just do
router.
It online. Okay.
And that will do that will go if you look through the manual, it will tell you what the factory defaults are as far as the password and username.
And
okay,
most...
now I just got onto the login with my the IP address.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. So from there, where do I go?
There should be a login or a someplace where you put in your password.
The password for the router.
I don't see it. This is IP address.
It's possible the Mac saved the password when she set it up, and it's letting her
Does it say something like welcome administrator or hello?
No, it just says IP address, and then several ways to obtain on the right-hand side, definitions, what you should do in case you forgot the router's password.
There you go.
So maybe I will do that.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, hopefully this works.
Good luck, Barb.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's likely the firmware update for the Wi-Fi crack attack.
Right. Yeah.
Every router needed to be updated.
Right. So if you, those of you listening in, if you have not updated your router in the last, couple weeks, it would probably be a really good idea to do so. That also means that you probably don't know your password, and now you're back to the same problem Barb has. And you heard us just talk about how you fixed that. So you need to track your passwords. As we've said so many times, long passwords are better than complex passwords, but you do need those long passwords. You also need a different password for everything you log into, because we've seen so many breaches in the last year where they get a password. If you've used that same password somewhere else, that other place is also now at risk. So if you use a different password for every one of your sites, then you're safer. So start tracking whether you... do it with some sort of online password vault like LastPass or Passkeeper or NPass or whatever pass you want. Or you'd keep a little book like a friend of mine does where he just writes this stuff down and then has to page through it for 10 minutes before he finds what he wants. But that's a separate issue. You know who you are.
Apple has a password manager built into its devices called Keychain.
Right.
Where it will even suggest very long passwords for you that you'll have no hope of remembering because it remembers it for you.
Right.
So you just have to remember your one master password.
Right. And Apple and Microsoft and Linux and everybody in Chrome all do that.
Yeah, the trick is if you want a cross-platform manager,
right. So
you say, you know, you have a Windows tablet and a Mac computer, then you need usually some third-party program
right.
that runs on all platforms.
And it's always better to have them in a third place in case that machine dies. You've got them, you know, online somewhere. EndPass or LastPass or Passkeeper all can keep them online, so that even if your machine dies or you buy a new computer or whatever, you've still got access to all of your passwords. So that's a better way of doing it than just then. Obviously, everybody relies on the password keeper that's built into their computer because it's convenient. But if that computer for some reason goes away, then it's not as convenient as perhaps it could have been.
Yep. And because there have been so many breaches, you know, nearly 5 billion pwned accounts. Billion with a B. The bad guys have the usernames and passwords for those 5 billion accounts. If you use the same password at one site that you did at another, the bad guys know that password when it gets breached at the first place, so they'll try the second place.
Right. All right. Well, 503 hours since I last looked at that. That music tells us that we are done for another week. No, we're not. We have another hour to go. Just wishful thinking on my part, folks.
Time travel.
It's time travel. I'm already an hour ahead of you people in the past. We'll be back very shortly with a whole long another hour. Blah, 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 blah. Sound bites, blah, blah, blah. Member supported, blah, blah, blah. Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 4 minutes after the hour, imagine my surprise that we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right.
Boy,
it's Soundbites.
You take a couple weeks off.
I don't. Yeah, I'm still on vacay mode. What are you going to say? I was sick.
You're still retired.
I am retired, and I was pretty sick. All right. Back to the phones right away and save me from myself. We were going to mention Judy. That's right. Before we get to the phones. Sorry, Smiley. Hang on. Judy called, and she said that she uses an address book for keeping the passwords, which makes a lot of sense to me because then they're all alphabetical, and she can put each one in the right alphabetical spot and just cross out the password and write in a new one if she changes
it,
et cetera, et cetera.
Do it in pencil.
Well, so you can erase, or you just cross it out and put in the new one, I guess. That'll work, too. All right, now we'll go to the phones, and we'll talk to Smiley. Hiya, Smiley from Rochester, New York. What's up?
Yeah, hey, Nick, if my memory from past readings hasn't failed me, the password for most routers was ADMIN until you changed it.
Yeah, the typical default default username is admin, and the default password is password.
Right, or admin, as Smiley's saying, yeah.
Yep. And most of the routers now ask you to change that the first time you set it up, because that is pretty dangerous to leave default passwords.
Right. You should always, for everybody listening, you should always change all your default passwords immediately. But Smiley, you're absolutely right. In many machines, it was admin. On others, it's admin password. If all else fails, try those. Even, you know, as Dave said, you go look for the manual. I do that. That's the first thing I do whenever I buy any new hardware product, is I go online and find the manual and download it, so that I've always got a copy, even when I randomly misplace the.
Well, a lot of products don't even come with a manual anymore.
That's true.
A lot of them expect they just put it up there at once on the web and expect you that if you need it, go there.
Yep. Excellent tip there, Smiley. Thank you so much.
Okay, stay out of trouble.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Stay warm. That's the big one.
Yeah.
But yeah, most places have the manuals available online. Take a minute and download them. You'll appreciate that 3 years from now when you need them. Put them in a folder called manuals.
And then it becomes searchable.
Right.
You know, Command F and password, and we'll find it for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Download them, stick them in a folder, maybe in your documents folder, create a folder called manuals, put all your hardware manuals in there. If you throw something away and you forget to throw the manual away too, really no harm done. They don't take up that much room on a computer anymore. That's something you should try. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Janet from Ontario, New York. Hi, Janet, what's up?
Hi. I just purchased a Google Home, and I've been trying to make calls on it, and most of them work. But I'm trying to call one person that has an Alexa hooked to their phone, and every time I call, it says phone number not available.
Yeah, you can only call real phones or other Google Homes. As we said earlier, Google and Amazon and Siri do not play well with others.
But why won't it call his phone?
His phone is connected to his. Oh, you're calling his actual phone.
Yes, his cell phone.
That should
work.
And
it won't do it.
And what error message do you get?
It says that the number's not available. But his phone is. I can call him for myself. His number is in my contacts. But I just can't do it through the Google Home. His cell phone.
Do you know if it's a cell phone?
Yes, it's a cell phone.
Is it on one of the budget carriers?
No.
Okay. Because I do know that there are a couple of the budget carriers, not specifically Boost Mobile, but a thing like that, where they do not connect well with those things. But nope. I don't.
Make sure your firmware is up to date.
Yeah. But if it works for everybody else.
It works for everybody else so far.
Which is annoying when it won't work for the one person you want it to.
Yeah, right. I am at a loss. I don't know. It should work. You can call them on your phone, yes?
Yes.
Do you also have a Google Home number? Hi, how are you?
No, not a Google phone number. My cell phone.
All right. No, I don't. I do not know. I actually have no idea.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. There people are talking about it online that there are indeed some folks who can't do that. More people are having trouble with Android Auto than they are with an Alexa. But
Google is actually publishing a telephone number for Google Home support.
Wow.
Google doesn't publish phone numbers for anything.
Yeah, no kidding.
And this is a real Google phone number on a real Google page because there's so many fake phone numbers.
Well, it looks like we're about to give her that number so she can make that call.
Yeah, I'm going to post this. Well, and this is on the article about making sure your firmware is up to date. That could be an issue that you need to check just to be sure.
Just bought it and installed everything 3 days ago. So,
but you never know how long it was sitting on the shelf or in the factory from when it actually got made. So it never hurts to check.
How do I update the firmware on the Google Home?
Do you have Android or iPhone?
iPhone.
You need the Google Home app.
So I have it.
Download that from the App Store. Check your firmware. So we'll post this in a minute.
Yeah, he's gonna post how to do that on our website at soundbites.org.
Okay.
In the Google Home app, you go to Devices. It will find your device, and then there's a firmware option.
Okay.
And I'll post this for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Thanks. Good luck.
So
that's a weird one.
Yeah.
Sound about your name?
Well, maybe he has his phone registered with Amazon to use it to make calls over the Alexa.
But and that, so it's now going to Alexa. But even
that
so,
shouldn't preclude getting regular cell phone calls.
Right. That's just very weird.
The crazy ones that are annoying.
Yeah, exactly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Sherry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Sherry, what's up?
Hi. I have a question about Wi-Fi.
Sure.
Security. Well, I have McAfee Live Safe, and it, you know, anything that's connected to the internet, you know, it kind of shows up there. And so it's showing me my DirecTV DVR box, and it's also showing my router.
Right.
My question is, do you think it's a good idea to have McAfee LiveSafe monitor those two devices?
It can't hurt.
Okay.
I don't think there's any sort of issue in terms of interference, because what it's really doing is reading the stream that's coming through from those. So that should not be an issue. You might want to make sure it's set to not automatically do anything to those two. Maybe just warn you and then wait for confirmation before it does something.
Oh, okay. But, I remember a long time ago I had Norton.
Yeah.
That kind of messed my whole computer up. I couldn't even get in it.
Yep.
It was a mess.
Yep. So, but other than that, you should be okay.
Oh, all right.
And one of the things I'm on their website to see, hope it does, especially for the DVR, is to make sure it's not compromised with like one of the botnets.
Right.
It says it scans for malware, mm-hmm. but does it only do that on websites or devices?
Yeah, I tried to go to their site and look it up. I couldn't get, it was hard getting information on that.
Yeah, it says it does devices, so.
But it just says it protects your devices. It
right.
doesn't say what.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. It shouldn't be a problem, particularly if you set it to monitor and then require confirmation before it does something.
Okay. Yeah, I have to find that feature.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Good luck. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
There are so many different vectors that the bad guys are using now. We talked about fake email and fake telephone support calls. There are also things that will grab your DVR. So if you can watch shows from your DVR when you're not at home, that means your DVR is on the internet.
Right.
Which means the bad guys could get into your DVR. And so there's something called the Mirai botnet, which is hundreds of thousands of DVRs that are attacking people.
Right.
And so you need to have something monitoring your traffic to see if there's something weird going on, and hopefully this LiveSafe does that. And when it says it protects your devices.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. Hiya, Tim. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. I'm a regular Yahoo user. I have Yahoo set as my homepage, mainly because I've been using their mail for forever, almost 20 years, and it's kind of this comfort zone thing.
Sure.
So this past week, and this doesn't happen to me often, and I'm very careful about what I'm doing online, I was in the middle of a YouTube video just listening to music, and I heard this audio prompt in my headphones saying, "Warning, do not close the current window. You have an infection," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared the heck out of me. Didn't know what to do. So, of course, I tried to close down the window, and I did what you guys do, and it told me to do, and I powered down. I had the anti-spyware and the malware bytes. I updated them. When I rebooted, ran them, everything was fine except for the cookies, as usual, with the anti-spyware. And then it happened again a second time this week when I was in Yahoo Mail, and I noted it was when I passed my cursor over either the top ad at the top of the email list. I'm pretty sure that's when it happened. My whole screen went red, and the same thing happened. So my question is, do you think that's probably what happened, and is something going on with this that might be new? And lastly, if this is happening because of these ad networks, are you going to tell me that there's, And I realize there's tons of ads in these ad networks, but there's nothing that Yahoo can do to try to get this under control?
Well, let me see if I can take this one at a time.
That's a loaded one.
First, yes, they're coming through the ad network. They are not an actual virus on your machine or a malware of any sort. What they are is, in this case, probably a Java or JavaScript. That when you roll over that particular ad, this voice comes up and tells you, you know, you got a problem, give us a call. And that's more scam. But here's the deal. There are billions with a B of ads being delivered hourly by these networks. And stuff sneaks in.
And so what Yahoo and everyone else has to do is hire billions of people to read each ad before it gets published.
Right. And they have algorithms and they have that sort of stuff. But still, with the speed of the internet, I can submit an ad which gets passed and then change my ad. And in the time between me changing the ad and them getting around to rescanning it, I've hit 100,000 people. I win.
Oh, well, okay. That helps me understand the challenge.
Right.
Okay.
And that's why maybe I hit 1 million people, and then I really win. But anyway, the idea is that that's why a lot of people run ad blockers.
And supposedly, you know, Yahoo became aware of that and made it so people couldn't access their accounts. And I keep wondering, when is YouTube going to do that?
Well, and
YouTube is an ad-supported network.
Right. So that's part of the problem is you install an ad blocker, and then you go to a website, and it says you can't see our website unless you turn your ad blocker off.
Right.
So you turn the ad blocker off and then get infected with a malicious ad.
Right.
Right.
Now, like you said, I don't think that problem came through Yahoo. I think that problem came from one of your mail sites. It might have come through a Yahoo ad, sure.
A
YouTube ad.
That's part of the problem. If you're using the Yahoo web interface for email, it's full of ads. That's the main reason that I hate using Yahoo webmail. I use a mail reader to get my Yahoo mail because I don't want to see all those ads.
Right.
Mail reader. Can you tell me about that?
Mozilla uses Thunderbird, has a product called Thunderbird, and you download that and set it up and you tell it, oh, I want to get my mail from Yahoo.
Okay.
And then it does the mail getting and showing, and you never see the ads on the Yahoo site itself.
Gotcha. Okay.
All you need to know is your username and password, because one of the sites that Thunderbird inherently understands is Yahoo, also Google and 100 others. So you just say, I'm on the Yahoo network, and this is my username and password.
Okay, awesome.
And boom, it makes magic.
Okay.
And that's useful. You can also, in a product like Thunderbird, turn off HTML email and essentially turn on plain text. Now you don't get all the fancy fonts and the pretty pictures and the yada, 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 but you also really honestly can't get infected because it's just text.
Right.
And while it's boring, it's also amazingly safe.
I was going to say it would be boring.
Yes.
Okay.
But it is also amazingly safe. So you get to make a choice between how safe you want to be and how bored you want to be.
Right.
In Thunderbird, you can also set it so that it only does simple HTML. So now you get the fonts and the colors and things, but you don't get any of the fancy stuff, which is where you often get the viruses.
Okay.
So there is a middle ground for Thunderbird.
Awesome. Okay, I will run with that. Thanks so much for your time, guys.
Yeah, good luck. Have fun.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. And the other nice thing about Thunderbird, of course, is that it's a one-stop shop. I've got probably a half a dozen different email addresses in Thunderbird, and I can go through each one very fast. It shows me a list down the left-hand side, and if it's bold, then there's new mail there, and et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, it'll also I can set a sound that comes up when when it gets, I recorded my daughter at the age of six. I recorded my daughter at the age of six saying, "Daddy, you've got mail," and that's always been my email sound. And so that makes me smile every a single time.
And it's very common now for people to have multiple email addresses. You've got your home address, your work address, right. You know, a church address, an organization you help belong to.
And this is also a good way for people who are trying to get off of an ISP's email.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on a specific internet service provider, the people who give you your internet service, and you don't want to have their email anymore because you might be changing your providers or whatever the reason is. Now you can put both of those into Thunderbird and still monitor both until you get off the one. And that's a very nice thing. All right, back to the phones. Should we be taking a break? Should we do that first? Hang on, Smiley. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple. Oh, yeah. Yell at me. All right, we'll be back
Computer
in just a couple of minutes.
You can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 27 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and now we have Smiley back again on the line. What's up, Smiley?
Hey, that young lady there that's trying to reach that phone number, is it possible that the phone she's trying to reach, he has a blocker on it, and they think that her number is an annoyance, and that's why I won't let it through?
Oh, excellent thought. Very well done. Yeah, it is. It is certainly
possible.
That would be not Janet putting a block on it, but the other people putting a block on it, because the Google Home number might be an unknown number to them. And until they may be one of those people who says block all numbers unless I let them in. So what Janet needs to do, and I know she's listening because she's a loyal listener,
mm-hmm.
What Janet needs to do is call her friend on an actual phone and have the friend unblock the Google Home number. And obviously the way you do that is you unblock, well, everything. Or watch, you know, your own phone when the number comes up. Right. And you know, she should call from the Google Home to the cell phone, and that'll show the number that Google is calling from. And then you unblock that one on the Alexa. Excellent thought, Smiley. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Smiley, keeping us honest since the 80s, I think. Maybe the 70s. He started very, very young. Very, very young. He was 4. When he started calling us and helping out with Frog Pond and all of that stuff. So, yeah, we're look at this. Back to the phones. Yeah.
According to Google, Google Home has no ability to block a number. So that's not the problem.
No, she's calling an Alexa.
Oh, okay.
She's calling from Google Home. To an Alexa.
To a cell phone that's connected to the Alexa.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, I've had a problem for a while now. I have a Windows 10 machine, and the on-screen keyboard keeps popping up. I've gone online and checked to see, you know, they have suggestions for getting rid of it, but I just can't seem to get rid of it.
Do you have is your machine a tablet?
No, it's a older machine, maybe 6 years, but it certainly works well enough for me, so I keep it.
Okay, yeah, that wasn't my question. I'm sorry, I missed if you said it was a laptop or not.
No, it's not. It's a desktop.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you probably, okay, so here's the deal. You can completely disable the on-screen keyboard. You're clearly never going to need it.
Right.
Right? So you hit the start button,
right,
in the lower left corner. You type OSK, which is short for on-screen keyboard.
Yeah.
And press enter.
Yeah.
And then it shows up. Now on the you right click the taskbar, and then uncheck show touch keyboard button, which turns that off completely. You can also do it inside settings, which might be easier. So from the start menu, go to settings, ease of access, keyboard, and turn off on-screen keyboard.
I believe I've done that, and it still came up. That was puzzled me.
Well, you need to. You might need to do both, because if somehow you are active, there are key strokes you can hit, and particularly if you have an older keyboard that you have spent years pressing down on with the heels of your hand, that warps it and can start sending odd signals. So if you turn it off. The first way I mentioned, and Steve can put up a thing on that. So if you turn it off the first way I mentioned and the second way I mentioned, that should do it. The other way is to go into the registry, and I'm not even going to...
No, let's not go there.
Yeah, let's not go there. But the other two ways, doing both, because you see there's an on-screen way to do it, and there's a settings way to do it. And if you turn only one off, the other one could continue to work.
Okay, maybe there are two approaches. I'll try them both then.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, the issue becomes one of, again, Windows 10 being too helpful.
helpful in the very wrong way.
Right. Speaking of which, we did not even speak about the other, which shows how big it is these days, the other helper, which is Cortana.
Yeah. That was another missing one. There's no device that has Cortana in it yet besides the Microsoft computers.
Right, right, right. So if you have a Microsoft computer or a Microsoft phone or Zoom... You know who I'm talking about?
Not many.
Yeah, you can. I have a friend I was teasing about the Zune and it's showing up at the end of
he's
Guardians
the one?
Of the
they
Galaxy
do.
2, and he said, "Yeah, I've got that model." Yeah,
Harman Kardon has a speaker with Cortana built in.
Yeah, the Invoke. Yeah, well, there you go. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. How you been?
Oh, pretty good, Nick. It's nice to see the weather gods have smiled on you and everybody's there today.
Mm-hmm. The weather gods and the health gods.
Oh, that too. Okay. Wife has an HP Envy 17-inch, connects wirelessly to the internet. She goes to go in today. She got to the DNC site, read the paper, then went to go to Facebook, and it just sat there. Wouldn't connect to Facebook. I walked in, I looked at it, said it had an internet connection. She grabbed her phone, and it went right through the same connection and logged right in. So I know my internet was up and running. So is it just the idiosyncrasies of Facebook being a royal pain, which it usually is, or...
Can she get to other sites on the Envy?
It seems that she could.
Then
she hit Google and you know
yeah.
She had just gotten off the Democrat and Chronicle website reading the paper and clicked on the little icon that said Facebook and
my suggestion would be to reboot.
We did that,
and that didn't help.
Nope. But then she turns around and hits the I got her a Note 8 for Christmas, which she's learning and starting to like, grudgingly, and she hit Facebook on that. It popped right up, and it was new posts and everything else. It's just the computer just gave her a white screen and timed out, unable to connect.
Does she have an ad blocker on?
No.
Hmm.
And I mean, she was able to go back to the Google page and you know do a Google search and.
I can't get to Facebook. Can you?
I cranked up the Chromebook just to see, because I know I'm going through the same part on the router that she is, and I put in Facebook and then asked for my password, and I put it in, it popped right up.
Clear the cache and history and things like that.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what they're saying. A couple of things you can try. Certainly clear the cache. If she's recently installed any new plugins,
no.
Disable them. Those are really the two big ones.
Okay.
They're calling it the white page of death or the blank screen of death.
Yeah.
The blank page of death, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And people get it kind of randomly. And there are ways that Facebook has put up about how to fix it, and Steve's going to put up a link.
Okay. Her thing is the computer knows how much she hates it, so therefore it's giving her problems. But
yeah, it's just the computer's way of saying you don't need to. You go to Facebook right now.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Second question. Earbuds.
Yeah.
I have the world's worst time finding, well, and this goes for wireless headsets too, I have the world's worst time finding something that will stay in my ear.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have a Walkman, little digital Walkman, combination radio and music player. I was out clearing kind of the remnants of the ice and slush and stuff from around the house in various places so I didn't get a flood. And it was getting close to noon, so I put the Walkman, was fully charged, in my pocket and put the earbuds in my ear, and I figured I'd listen to you guys while I was clearing off all the stuff. And I was stopping a couple times a minute to try and slide the thing back into my ear.
Right.
And I have a nice Motorola Boom wireless headset that I got for use with my phone because my old car didn't have Bluetooth in it.
Okay.
So I bought it for that, but I can't get the thing to stay in my ear.
Okay,
and
I
remember when I used to be a kid, and we won't get into how long ago that was.
Yeah.
They hardly had
ears then, much less earphones, so...
Yeah, well... Yeah. But I had the old transistor radios used to come with the little white earbud, and those would go in and stay in because they had like the little end with the...
Yeah, okay, Andy, often the problem we have with earbuds is that we're wearing them wrong.
Oh, okay.
First, if you're using an Apple earbud, I don't know any human being on the face of the earth whose ear that actually fits. I know there's somebody they model them on, but... I don't know who that is. Whoever it was an aberrant mutant person.
Okay.
But with regular earbuds, you buy the cheap ones at Walmart or wherever that have the soft end.
Yeah.
What you do is you take the wire and bring it up behind your ears and then stick the earbuds in from the front. That way, when you're wearing a coat or whatever and something pulls on the earbuds...
Mm-hmm.
It pulls down on the top of your ear, but doesn't pop the phone out of your ear.
Even if you have your hair over your ears, that can be a problem.
That can be a problem. But generally speaking, what you want to do is, if it's wired, obviously if you've got the wireless Apple ones.
I found the Apple wireless ones fit in my ear and stay without getting pulled out.
Oh, you're the guy.
Yeah, that's...
But I would give that a try and see what happens. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Rainey, Francesco Yu, 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Eric from Webster, New York on the line. Eric, what's up?
Hi, guys. I have a 2-year-old Acer Chromebook, and over the past 4 or 5 months, my full charge on the battery has gone from 100% down to today, which is 23.2.
Yeah.
It's the year for battery problems.
What's been happening is a lot of places are discovering that a whole set of batteries they originally purchased, outsourced, right, are not as good as they originally thought. Yeah, not as well built. And at this point, I do not know quite what to tell you. Most Chromebooks are not easy to replace the battery in. And finding the right battery is a very hard thing to do. Yeah, no, I get it. I've got a 3-year-old Toshiba Chromebook in front of me, and the battery is still magnificent, but it depends on where they bought their batteries and what batch they came out of, and et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And other than I'm sorry, there's not much I can tell you at this point. I don't know enough about any individual model to tell you.
Which Chromebook was it?
Acer.
Which one?
Oh, crap. Where
exactly
do I find that out at? Chromebook 15.
So I just found instructions for the C710, and it says it's very easy to replace the battery.
Wait a minute. I got a number on the front of it. It says CB5-571.
All right. CB5-571?
Correct.
All right. No parts. Moderately difficult, according to iFixit.
Moderately difficult.
Well, they're pretty good about doing high difficulty or very difficult. The previous two I looked up were easy.
Right.
But this one is moderately
difficult.
Right.
Some have a cover that you can just open and change the battery.
You need a Phillips
Most
Zero.
Most do not.
A Phillips Zero and a Phillips Triple Zero screwdriver. Plus
yeah,
the battery.
I don't see much of a cover. I see a lot of screws, though.
Yep. 18 screws on the bottom.
Yep.
And then gently pry with your spudger. when you get down to where it says gently pry, that's pretty bad.
That's a problem.
Yeah. And pretty much the whole insides of it is a battery.
Yeah, there is a site called iFixit, which shows you how to fix dang near everything.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the things that they show you how to fix, you better be both knowledgeable and patient, and in fact, also have all the right tools.
And here's another thing, though. When you're taking it apart, take a piece of paper and set it off to the side and draw boxes. And when you take screws out of a certain area, put them in that little, say, section of the paper and mark where they came from. So that way, when you go put it back together, because once you get the bottom screws off, I guarantee you, once you get in there, you're going to be taking out a lot more screws. So you want to put it in different areas on that piece of paper and mark where they came from so you can get all the screws back in the correct place.
Right. Now, do you have any suggestions on where to look for a battery?
Yeah, that's the one thing iFixit didn't say. They usually point to
look
batteries.
Look at Battery Biz.
There's Battery Plus
Battery
here.
Okay.
Battery Plus, Battery Solutions here in town. I was just there this morning. They recycle lithium batteries for no fee.
Nice.
Which is nice.
Okay.
Unfortunately, unless you're willing to play with it on yourself.
I'll just go buy another one.
Yep. There's the other idea right there. Get a new one. Get a much nicer one for not a lot more money.
Right. Okay, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, that is one of the problems that that people have. And part of the issue, of course, is that everybody waits to do a recharge until the battery is almost empty. And with lithium ion batteries, what wears them down is the recharging itself. If you recharge them regularly before they get down to zero, they last a lot longer because, what wears them down is the actual charging. Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hiya, Mark. What's up?
Good afternoon. Just calling to respond to the gentleman who's having a hard time with the earbuds.
Yeah.
I just got a pair of wireless Bluetooth earbuds, and they came with that little hook that goes right above your ear canal in that little channel.
Yep, yep, yep.
And they hold very well because these earbuds without it would fall out because there's just a wire that goes around your neck.
Right.
So the electronics are a lot in the buds themselves.
Right, right.
And they hold wonderful with those little hooks that go in there. They're made for people who jog with them and stuff. But when you have ears that they don't quite fit into, those hold them in place very well.
And a lot of the earbuds also come with different sized tips to help them fit in your ear.
Right. Yeah.
But that's still just the compression in your ear. If they actually have a hook that goes over the top of your ear, that helps them stay even easier.
Yeah, I bought it. I bought mine from Best Buy, and they're a company I never heard of called Teotronics.
Yeah.
And they sound phenomenal.
Good.
And yeah, they're like $30, not on sale, and they sound great. I got them on sale half price.
Nice.
And it's even better.
Yeah, that is better.
So,
Teotronics?
T-A-O-tronics, one word.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I never heard of them before.
There it is.
It's Tau. It's probably Tau.
Or Tautronics, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're great. They say they charge in an hour and a half, and they charge in like less than an hour.
Nice.
And you can get about 8 or 10 hours of playback time with them.
Nice.
So, you got a Bluetooth transmitter for $30.
Yeah.
And if you use them with an iDevice, you actually get a battery readout in the top of the phone that tells you how much battery life is in the Bluetooth headphones. And if you bring down your notifications, it shows it there too.
Nice.
So just a little help. If you get any kind of earbuds with those little hooks in them for running, they hold in so much better because they're made to hold them right in the ear canal.
Yeah, exactly. There are really three types. There's a kind with just the buds, the kind with the buds that go over your ears, and those are hard for people who have glasses.
Right.
And then these kind with the buds inside the ears, which apparently you can buy at Best Buy.
Yep.
How interesting. All right, excellent.
Yep. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Yep. Well, I may have to look into those.
A lot of times they're marketed like these ones are as sport headphones for runners and joggers because of the extra jostling makes the buds fall out easier.
Right.
So a lot of them that are marketed toward the sports people will have these extra hooks on them.
Right. And those are nice. You should. I know you can't try a pair of headphones. That's very hard, and I get that.
People ask us that all the time, and we have to say, no, would you want to buy a headphone that someone else tried on? Well, of course not. Well, that's why you can't try it on.
We were at my daughter's house over Christmas, and a commercial came on where it's, I think, an Apple commercial where this woman hands one of her earbuds to another person. And as she was doing that, my wife, my daughter, and I all went, ew.
If it's your significant other, you're probably exchanging more than just earwax.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all right. I got that right.
But
And our next caller is, how do you pronounce this?
Stosh.
Stosh from Webster. Okay, Stosh, what's up?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because I'm looking at two questions, actually. I'm hoping I can keep them short for you.
Yeah, we only got a couple of minutes, so go.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'll do it quick here. First question is in regards to the routers. Recently, we purchased, within the past year, one of the Motorola kind of combo wireless router and modems.
Mm-hmm.
And we're using currently the Time Warner. We're legacy customers here at the house. And through Spectrum, we've had issues where the signal keeps coming in and out on random occasions. We've had technicians come out who have checked the line, checked the strength of the line. They've checked all their bells and whistles here when it comes to the location of it and the signal, you know, so it's strong enough to feed throughout the entire house. But it seems like there's still something amiss here because they can't figure out what's wrong. And I've made sure that we've followed all the protocols, but we still, on average, we'll every now and then see that the signal goes out. When it comes to like devices and stuff that we have in the house, we have maybe two or three wireless devices that might be working, and they're not using anything, like to do streaming or anything.
All right, Stosh. We've got less than a minute left.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. One thing you might want to try is a separate router. So you plug the motor, turn off the wireless in the Motorola, get a separate router, not an expensive one. This is just something you're testing with. right? Mm-hmm. So you get a separate router. Maybe you've still got one sitting around. Maybe a friend can loan you one. And you hook that in instead. So now the Motorola goes only to that router and doesn't do anything else. And everything else comes off that router. See if that solves the issue. It could just be a bad router. The wireless is bad in the Motorola router. And that will tell you if that's the problem.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, we're done. I apologize.
No.
I'm sorry. That's the best we can do. I'm sorry to everybody who we didn't get to. Please call earlier next week. We only have 2 hours. We take like 3 calls in the first hour and 100 calls in the second hour, and we can't get to everybody, and that makes us feel bad. But we will be back next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow, and we'll be back with more sound bites in just 166 hours on Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening.